Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Talk is Jericho, baby. Talk is Jericho.
All right, welcome to Talk is Jericho. It's the Pot of Thunder and Rock and Roll. Speaking of rock and roll, Corey Taylor of Slipknot and Stone Sour loves today's guest. He's the one who told me all about it. It's his favorite wrestling company. Talking about Freak Show Wrestling out of Las Vegas. Remember this pretty little ditty?
Franken Chicken!
He's a bad mother clucker.
Franken Chicken! Bop, bop! Franken Chicken!
He's a bad mother clucker.
Franken Chicken!
Bop, bop!
Franken Chicken!
He's a bad mother clucker.
Franken Chicken! Bop, bop! Franken Chicken!
He's a bad mother clucker.
Franken Chicken! Bop, bop!
Franken Chicken, he's a bad mother clucker. Franken Chicken, ow, ow. That's right, Franken Chicken is real, and he exists in Freak Show Wrestling. You're going to hear all about him from his creator, his promoter, and wrestler, Sin Bodhi. Founded Freak Show Wrestling, he's going to tell us all about it, telling us all about his crazy promotion, characters, matches, characters like Drugs Bunny, Scorch the Clown, Andrea the Giant, that's good, and the time he had the ghost of Whitney Houston take on the ghost of Michael Jackson in the ring. It's great stuff. You might also remember Sin from his short-lived run at WWE when he was Kazarni. You hear that whole story as well, how he got signed to WWE, to the development of Kazarni, to working with the great Dusty Rhodes and learning to actually speak Carney, and then the reason why his WWE run was cut short. Of course, Sin also grew up with Edge and Christian in Canada. They were great friends in high school. He used to go to wrestling shows together. They're still friends to this day. And you got to check out Freak Show Wrestling when you're in Las Vegas. They got a big show coming up, Freak Show Slam, Saturday, June 23rd at the Fremont Country Club. You can get your tickets at freakshowwrestling.com and wait till you hear what Sin's planning for later this summer. It's a huge show he's working on with Hood Slam in Oakland. Sin's going to share some details coming up. So here we go. Freak Show Wrestling with Sin Bodhi right here. Talk is Jericho. Franken Chicken, he's a bad mother clucker. Okay, first off, I'm here with Sin Bodhi, and we're in Las Vegas. You walked in with a gimmick bag, a fanny pack. Still rocking it?
Hell yeah, brother. I figure I travel so much, I'm always wallet, phone, keys, and I'm just a neurotic artsy-fartsy guy, so I thought, I'm going to bring back the styles, and I'm gonna hammer it out. And I figured I got to do it ridiculously because it's a ridiculous thing.
It's like a psychedelic cat.
I've had so many, like, I'll get big scary bikers coming up to me in like airports or gas stations, be like, bro, if you're crazy enough to rock that, I don't ever want to mess with you. Like, so it almost turns into like a sweet, like, force field, you know? Like,
and I saw you last time I saw you had hair, and now you don't, with a lot of tattoos. And you were about to tell me a story. I said, stop, wait until we're actually talking on the air.
Right.
Tell me the story behind you being bald.
Well, I am not bald, sir. I have a sweet head of hair that I never have to comb again.
Yeah.
I remember, like, even from, like, when I had long hair since I was, like, a little teeny bopper.
Yeah.
And I just thought, if I was ever going to cut my hair, I was going to do some, like, Bam Bam Bigelow shit, you know?
With the tattoos and, yeah.
Yeah. And I thought, so, years down the road, I'm an old, gnarled up wrestler, and I'm tired of having heels and baby faces yanking on my hair for a living, so I thought, I want to do something nice for Locke's Love and like a couple of good buddies of mine. Like one dude I learned a lot from who wasn't any big famous wrestler. Like I've learned a lot from a lot of famous guys, but this dude, Elvis Elliott, who's an indie wrestler.
Elvis Elliott. Shout out to Elvis. Where is he based out of?
Hell yeah. He's in Orlando.
Okay.
A great guy, great worker. He was trained by like D'Lo and Al Snow like way back in the day.
Gotcha.
And he, we wrote together and he was one of the few guys that I could say stuff to and he wouldn't just go, oh yeah. Like he'd say, that's cool, that's dumb, that's cool, don't do this, do this. Right. Like he would tell me straight, you know? And I really learned a lot from him. He was a nice dude. And so, I mean, as good of a wrestler as he is sort of superfluous to this story. Yes, I know what that means.
That's a great word, man.
Yeah.
Jeez, you came in here on fire. It came in hot,
brother. And I know words. And so anyway, so he is a stepdad. And he's probably a better stepdad than a lot of dads or dads.
Right.
So he's just a cool dude. And he's got a great family. And he's got two awesome stepkids. And they both had to deal with cancer.
Oh, wow.
And his little boy. And they're both like the daughter and the little boy, the son, are super sweet kids. And I just remember thinking, man, what could I do for somebody that, you know, I always think of that Superman 2 movie, like, well, with all these powers, what could I do? I couldn't even save Lois, you know, fly around the earth. And since I can't fly around the earth, I just thought, man, I could chop 2 feet of hair off for some kid, you know, and I just thought that'd be cool. And again, my inner wrestling markiness thought, I need to have Brutus Beefcake do this. So we did it on Freak Show Wrestling.
Brutus Beefcake, Brutus the Barber Beefcake.
Brutus the Barber, yeah.
So you wanted him to cut your hair off.
Yeah, well, I thought like everybody that I'd have on Freak Show as guests, like road guys, were all like buddies of mine. So they came on, to, you know, for a good time and they'd always knew they were in for some shenanigans. Like I had John Morrison dress up as Jesus once and he wrestled Santa and just dumb stuff like that. Yeah. Gangrel in like a barefoot mousetrap match with this like comedian with a Zach Galifianakis impersonator with a baby being thrown at him. So all these guys are coming in with a sense of humor. Beefcake was the only guy that I just met briefly. Like I didn't know him. He wasn't like a pal of mine. I just saw it. Hair, barber. Beefcake made perfect mathematical sense in my brain. And so he was cool. He came in and he did it. And we were laughing because I was wrestling PJ Black, who's very fast paced, you know, really great wrestler. And we literally
What was his name in WWE?
He
was in the NXT, original NXT invasion.
I want to say Justin
Scamuma. Gabriel. Justin Gabriel, that's it. James Justerson.
Justerson, yes. High Fly McFlyerton, yes.
Justin Gabriel was his name.
Yeah, and he was super cool. He came in and Beefcake was the referee. And I think we blew him up. Like he up and down. We're going for pin after pin. We don't want to lose our hair, you know.
Yeah.
We're going for that quick win. And Beefcake's like up and down. Hey, brother, you guys are killing me. He's like, I'm working really hard here. You just sharpen those scissors.
Yeah, exactly right.
But
so he came in and cut your hair.
Yeah, he was really cool.
Childhood dream come true.
Yeah, dude. I got to mark out and then I got to do something cool for some kids.
That's cool. Now it's interesting because a lot of people might not know this and I met you because you grew up with Adam Copeland and Jay Riso and
sure
Edge and Christian. And is this a shoot you actually grew up together?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The same high school or?
We grew up in the same town, Orangeville, just outside of Toronto. And we went to high school together. We were all thick as thieves. I was like, joke, I'm like Eddie Murphy. I'm like the fifth Black Beetle. I'm like the Edge and Christian that you don't know about, you know? I'm the guy that's
off. Clarence.
Yes, I'm totally. And that's cool, you know? And it was funny, like, I look at Adam and Jay as more like buddies. Like, I could, you know, I think if I was kind of a politician or something, I would bug them a lot more than I do. I just don't ever want to do that. I bug other people. Mm-hmm. I definitely bug other people. Hi, Chris.
Can you hear your podcast?
Yes.
Okay.
But they anytime there's like, you know, maybe a family thing or something, whatever, that's where we lean on each other. But we really don't talk a whole ton about wrestling. Like we loved it. We grew up together.
Mm-hmm.
But I think we all kind of took very different paths. So I almost am uncomfortable to talk about. When they bring it up, then I'm definitely down to talk about it. But otherwise, I don't want to, you know, I'm not a prying, I'm a polite Canadian, you know.
It's hard in certain ways. Like for example, just off the top of my head, I'm really good friends with Eli Roth. I've known Eli for 14 years, cool. Really good buds. And I was like, why don't you ask Eli to put you in one of his movies? And I'm like, it doesn't work that way, dude. Like you can't ask a good friend, hey, put me in one of your movies. Like he knows where to find me. If something ever comes up, he'll call me. And if not, it's not a problem, you know?
Edge and Christian know where there's a really handsome, talented clown at their disposal. They can bug me whenever they want.
Exactly. Exactly.
And it's weird too. Like I remember like texting you before, like just, you know, you're a dude that I could, you know, ask advice for. And
right.
I'm sort of the old grizzled guy on the indie scene where like I am the guy that scarily people ask for advice. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice to have, you know, brothers that have more experience and seniority and
that's right. Yeah.
You know, to lean on. I would like to be that guy every day.
Right.
You know, so when I do get that, and not that I know everything as far as like being on an indie scene or whatever, but it's nice to know I have people that I can ask questions.
Did you guys used to go to the matches together when you were teenagers?
Yeah. I can remember vividly these fans jumping on like Shawn Michaels' limousine. I remember like Jay will do a funny impersonation of this like East Indian kid, like, Michaels, please, Michaels, I love you, Michaels. And we're like at the guardrail, just kind of like giggling, watching these fans go nuts. And we loved it, but we were kind of, you know, we had our couth, I suppose.
Yeah.
And but yeah, we went to lots of shows. I remember growing up as like sort of like a naive little Canadian kid, I remember like the first time I ever heard a public school teacher swear, my mind was blown. And then I heard, we were at Maple Leaf Gardens, me and Adam and Jay, and we were pretty close to front, but we were like right against where the walkway. And we were maybe a few rows back, and I'll turn that off for you. I'll be a professional.
It's like an angel.
Oopsie daisy. I usually have like a cat meowing and people are like, what the kitten? Like, are they going to step on something?
It's so funny how cats are a thing now.
Brother. Right? Oh, a side story. So I rescue a lot of animals. I do all that stuff. And so we were in the vet getting our one little pooch that we got for Christmas. We rescued this dog out of New Mexico. And when we're taking him in, there was this little one-eyed cat. And nobody wanted it. Somebody had beat it up, starved it to the point where it lost its eye, did all this awful stuff. And all my weird craziness, I would never think to hurt an animal.
Like, oh, yeah, that's a different level of crazy.
Dude.
Yeah.
And so the little girl cat and me and my stepdaughter had argued over the name of like the pooch that we rescued. So, of course, I caved in and we, you know, we met. We negotiated.
Yeah.
You know, so she had some goofy, stupid little kid names, and I had some cool guy wrestler names. So we ended up with Oxbaker Wiggle Beans. And so this cat, we named it Mr. Fuji.
Nice.
Mr. Fuji Pizza Pants. And that was our negotiations. And so, yeah, just cats and dogs, all animals. I'm just massively, massive.
So you were talking about Adam and Jay at the garden?
So, yeah, the first time I heard one of the Bushwhackers swear, and it blew my mind because we were just used to, like, you know, Uber PG, WWF Saturday morning. And I remember they were wrestling Demolition, and it was just when Crush had sort of arrived, and everybody was like, oh, my God, this guy's like 10 million feet tall. Mm-hmm. And they so I want to say it was Crush pressed Luke, and we're so close, and we could hear Butch go, oh, shit. And we're like, did he just swear in front of kids? Oh, my God.
I remember I used to go to the matches with my dad, AWA. And I'll never forget, like, you don't know when you're a kid if it's real or not, especially back
sure.
then.
And I'm still not sure.
I'm sure not sure. And Scott Hall, somebody gave somebody a backdrop. And Scott Hall was on the apron side. And he went, holy shit, that guy went. Holy shit, you see how high he went?
Right.
And I remember my dad and I were like, did you hear that? Holy shit, did you see how high he went? Yep. It's almost like, wow, you get like inside the sports type thing.
It's funny like what sticks with you and what sort of not necessarily pops you, but just something that resonates, something as silly as that. Like I remember Mr. McCormick, grade 7, he said the S word. I was like, oh my God, my mind is blown. He's a public school teacher. He's the fabric of time is going
to
tear.
So when they started getting into the business, were you trying to get into it too? Or I seem to remember you were a few years later maybe or something.
Yeah, Adam. So Adam did that whole essay thing with Ron Hutchinson and he grew. Like me and Jay were runty. Like Adam kind of had this early growth spurt.
Right.
So yeah, Adam went and did that. And then me and Jay talked about it. But again, we were still used to like WWF early morning stuff, like where we thought you had to be like 18 feet tall just to be a referee or something.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, back in those days that was the case too.
Yeah. And so we sort of talked about, you know, if we got into college or not, and then how it worked out. Jay went and trained and I went off to school and I hated it, and then I followed suit, you know, a couple of years later. And so I was always sort of like, I was sort of the green guy of like the three buddies. I was like the green
couple steps behind.
Yeah, always.
Hey, I'm Brett Podolsky, co-founder of The Farmer's Dog. We make fresh food for dogs. We started the company when we saw what a huge difference it made in my own dog, Jada, when she stopped eating ultra-processed kibble and started eating fresh, whole food. The Farmer's Dog food isn't fancy. It's just real food delivered to your door in pre-portioned packs. It's better for them and easier for you.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/podcast. That's thefarmersdog.com/podcast.
At Alma, we know the connection between you and your therapist matters. But if you're already feeling stressed and burnt out, the idea of trying to find a therapist you really connect with can be overwhelming. That's why Alma's focused on helping you find the right therapist for you. When you browse their online directory, you can filter your search based on the qualities that are most important to you. Then you can book a free 15-minute consultation call with any therapist you're interested in seeing, so you can get a feel for whether they're the right fit before you commit to a full-length session. Alma also makes it easy for mental health care providers to navigate insurance. That's why 95% of therapists in their directory accept insurance for sessions, so you can find care that's affordable without stressing about the paperwork. You want to talk to someone, but not just anyone. Alma is there to help you find the right fit. Visit helloalma.com/therapy60 to schedule a free consultation today. That's helloalma.com/therapy60.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
And I want to talk about a lot of different stuff. And obviously, you're the, kind of the proprietor of Freak Show Wrestling here in Vegas. And that's just the whole ridiculous, crazy thing. Corey Taylor's favorite wrestling right. company. But I want to talk quickly. You're wearing a shirt that says Kazarni Sizzox, which is really funny. Do you sell that?
Yeah, I sure do. I sure do.
Undefeated WWE. Bomber shirt.
But you were like, I remember they used to have you come for tryouts. Adam and Jay were always talking about our friend Nick. And once again, you can spin anyone, but the bottom is you made it into the WWE, which is really hard to do.
Sure.
And whether it's a great gimmick or a shitty gimmick, or you're there for a day, you're there for 20 years.
Right.
You got in, and it was like almost like how like. I remember they're always talking about you. It took a long time for you to get signed.
Sure.
How did you finally get signed there?
Well, I think like Adam definitely helped open that door. He opened it and I kicked it in. And I think like, you know, people can joke about all this stuff. Like I got saddled with a gimmick I didn't want, you know, but I wasn't that squeaky wheel. I wasn't taught like that. Like, you know, Hutchinson taught us like do what you're told, you know.
But how many tryouts did you get before you finally got signed? It was a lot.
Okay, so how it sort of worked out was like way back when I first started, Adam hooked up a dark match and I had no business being in the ring. Like if I was in the ring with somebody who could lead me, I would have been fine. But they put me in with another guy that was equally as green and he got super nervous. What and I just, name? His name was Flesh Gordon.
I remember this, Flesh Gordon.
Flesh Gordon, yeah. Nice dude, looked good, but he, you know.
It was not good, right?
Yeah, in all of his, he's a great human being, but just was not a good worker. Mm. And neither of us, I mean, were, you know, brand new. And he got super nervous. And I just like, I make a career out of leading, you know, greener guys on indie shows. Like
now you do.
Now I do. Now I can do it in my sleep. But then I didn't know what to do. And I tried to, you know, the more I kind of handled it, the more we were just in quicksand. And it was just, I would think the galaxy's worst dark match ever. And it just put a, just such a black mark on me. And, you know, I remember even Laurinaitis being like, man, that hurt you. I'm like, sweet, awesome pain. Yes. And so I just went away, kept on learning my craft. And I literally told myself, I'm going to be in a bad mood until I get a job. Mm. That's, I was going to have a chip on my shoulder and just, and I always, my little nicey snow Mexican-ness, you know, always like prevails. And I always would find myself trying to be in a good mood, trying to always, you know, do what I need to do. And I just thought I needed to do that. But I was just so hellbent.
You were in a bad mood for like a
year. Brother, I was in a bad mood for like 100 years. Like,
and let me just say quickly, something that a lot of younger wrestlers, if they're listening, everybody always wants to try out, wants a dark match.
Sure.
If you're not ready, don't do it.
No.
Even if it takes 5 years, if you're not ready, because one bad match
sure.
could stamp you to where you never get another shot.
That put a massive, like, It just put a massive wrench in everything.
You see the name? Oh, we saw him before. It was terrible.
Right.
Well, he's much better now. It was 2 years ago. Yeah.
Right.
You have to make sure it's that famous thing. You only get one chance to make a first impression.
Sure. I remember Raven has reminded me over the years of like, you know, my good stuff and my bad stuff. And I remember him, I don't know, it was a couple of years ago on a show. And he was just like, hey, you're really good now. Too bad you weren't good when you needed to be good. Like, thanks, man. All right. You know, thank you.
Did anybody say anything to you after, like, any of the agents or anything?
They gave me advice saying, you know, you're way too green and you were in there with another green guy and the situation sucked, but it is what it is. Mm-hmm. They said, go away and learn.
Right.
And I remember Laurinaitis saying, you know, go to Puerto Rico, go to every place you can go. I mean, I went to Puerto Rico within the month. And across the pond, you know, wherever I could go. Like, I mean, Adam in jail, kind of joke.
International experience.
Yeah,
you're
everything.
Doing England, you're doing all those places.
I was like Bugs Bunny in the car, just like, you know, you see him on the map. He's just squiggling and wiggling all over the place. Dude.
Indiana Jones.
Brother.
Who were you wrestling under? What was your name?
I was Sin, which is, I remember, I don't know if you remember this, why would you, but I remember you were like, that's an awful name. Like, you're like, you're such a creative dude. I know you're an artsy dude. Why'd you come up with that stupid name? It's so simple.
Well, get two N's on it.
Right. And I remember telling you a couple of the dumb ones that had crossed my mind. And I remember saying like Evil Elvis or something. And you're like, that's way better, you asshole. You know?
Yeah.
And I think I came up with it because I'm a lot better at sometimes putting other people over. Like I could talk up Adam and Jay all day. I'll do what I need to do in the ring, but just as Nick or San or whatever, I am not the awesomest spokesman for myself. I can plug Freak Show, I can plug the workers they're in, but just to be like, hey, you should see what I can do, and I'd rather just show you.
Gotcha,
you
know? Right.
And so Hutchinson was like, we need you to start as a bad guy, which he kept on telling us, you always start as a good guy because then you can learn and listen and, you know, be led. And he's like, but we're at a shortage of bad guys, so think of something dastardly, we're going to put you on next week. And I said, okay. And I think I came up with Sin because it was in my weird artsy hippieishness. I thought it's the only thing that bonds us all, you know, gay, straight, Muslim, Jewish, what, astronaut, Martian, whatever we are. Sin is the only thing. So that was my silly little take. And then Chris Jericho told me it was the shit.
So you're traveling around the world. You're getting that experience that you need.
Yes.
And then how long is it before you finally get another tryout?
So I went to TNA and I got hired at TNA. So I was I was there for a while and I was part of the new church with like Jim Mitchell and Wolfie D and Shane Douglas and those guys. I learned a lot from those guys. I was really proud of that. I had a lot of fun with that. Like we had the audience chant, like they chant evil, evil. We come out all the red lights and it was sort of the precursor to Abyss. Like I was there like that early.
Right.
And then I just kind of hit the road and then I wrestled Al Snow a bunch of times on indie shows. And he was just like, man, he goes, you know, you've got some really good instincts. You got a great look and you're a good guy. He goes, why don't you come to OVW? And then you could kind of get in there with some big, huge guys that I really don't want to get in there with.
Right.
And you could kind of take the licks and kind of, you know, learn and be on the OVW TV, which Vince would see. And he's like, I think you'll get a job.
Right.
And so eventually, so that's what I did that. And then 6 months after being at OVW, I got the gig. Mike Bucci hired me. I was his first hire. Sorry, Mike.
Supernova, right?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, Mike.
Sorry, Mike. My bad. And yeah, I went up and then...
Because the thing is, like the kids aren't is based on being a carny,
right.
Being a circus freak.
Sure.
Because that was always the side of you, like even though you're wrestling and now you're super tatted up. I don't think about it. You always had done these like circus type stunts from what I remember.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for a long time.
For the hell of it? Or
I agreed to do it. Like I always liked it and I just never thought kind of to do it. My head was in wrestling.
But did you just do it like at home just for fun?
No, I met this dude on a movie set. We did this really silly... like Lucha, a horror movie called Enter the Zombie King. And
you can't even say it with a straight face.
Yeah. And we met, I met Scott McClellan, who runs Carnival Diablo in Canada. Really cool show. And he was sort of out of strongman and he needed one. He had
needed
like
what?
A strongman.
A strongman.
And so I was, you know, I'm like the despicable me version of me now. I used to have muscles and.
You're like a junior Braun Strowman.
Yes, 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 yes. Once the cooties ravaged my body, I am now, this is what you get. And so I kind of thought, well, maybe this is something that Vince might like. I think he likes carnival stuff. And, you know, I always kind of heard that. And, you know, wrestling and the carnival was sort of one and the same. And I thought, this can only enhance what I'm trying to endeavor to do. And so I agreed to do it, and I learned a whole ton of stuff, and it was really cool. And then I started kind of thinking of my own stuff eventually. And eventually I went and like, I wrestled and performed and did sideshow stuff for like Jim Rose Circus and all that. So that's sort of like, Jim is like the Vince McMahon of sideshow and freak show stuff. And so I thought, okay, well, that'll be all good.
What kind of stuff are you doing with Jim Rose?
Human dartboard. I could bend an iron bar in my teeth. I would get lots of stuff between the different things. And then I did my own sideshow, Dynamite Death Monkeys, which was fun.
So what's the crazy thing? A human dartboard, so you just stand there and people throw darts at you?
Kind of. Okay. Yeah, basically. You make it sound.
Yeah. It seems a little crazy, but I'm sure there's a lot crazier stuff.
Yeah. One of the weirdest things is I used to get like all jacked up in an electric chair, and they would like legit like electrocute me. And if you go and look, if you like just YouTube one of those old Kazarni vignettes, and you'll see it looks like I'm eating fire, but it's not. It's actually reverse. What's happening is I'm in an electric chair, and the current's going through my body, and they hold up an unlit torch dipped in gasoline. And I stick my tongue out, and the current from my tongue ignites the torch.
For real?
Yeah.
Wow.
So those Kazarni things, it looks like I'm eating fire for like a half second, but really I'm in a chair, and they're close up on me. And those were just barely the clips that they could show, because when we filmed all that stuff, Vince was like, I can't show anybody this stuff. It's scary as crap. You're going to give kids nightmares. And so they used a lot of B-roll footage from like the other guys that looked a lot more sort of PG-ish or whatever. But I would think the electric chair was probably the most heavy.
That's crazy.
Thing.
So when you finally get the gig, is it up to you to pitch this gimmick or?
Okay, so how I did it, and I don't know, you could tell me if this was right or wrong. I mean, I guess we both kind of know the answer now. But I was always like, try to be polite, be helpful, but I didn't want to ever be overbearing. I didn't want to like run and be like, well, this is what I can do, all this stuff. And
especially when you first get in there. Yeah.
Sure. So I just said, I know he wanted me to do the carnival stuff, and I said, like, look, I understand that I'm the weird character, so if it helps you guys, there's stuff I can do. If you want to know, or however I can help you, please ask me, and I can give you stuff if you would like. And they said, yeah, sure. So I give them stuff, and every time they'd sort of crumple up that metaphoric piece of paper and throw it over their shoulder.
Yeah.
Nothing really got done. And I just, even like now, like teaching and stuff, like I tell guys, like hindsight, like a lot of teachers or coaches, they either don't know or won't say about hindsight, like, what do you do when you really go there? I can say that, not that being a black belt's any big whoop or whatever can hold up your pants, but I mean, I was a pretty heavy duty martial artist, I was a bouncer, all this stuff. Like, I'm not Chuck Norris, but I could hold my own,
right?
And when I went to WWE, I felt like a little kid. I just felt like, oh my God, there's a horseman.
It was so big?
Yeah, well, it just, and again, the little kid in me that had watched all that WWF Saturday morning, like, it turns you from ass-kicking world traveler to little kid who just wants to comply and be, noticed and helpful and whatever, as opposed to being like, I don't want to do this, or I don't think I should do this, or.
Well, you have to earn that right too.
Sure.
It might take a while to get to that point.
Sure, and I was totally prepared for that, but I think I just went into it with a massive dose of naivety, mm-hmm. where not realizing, like, okay, just because this certain guy is, famous or maybe an agent or something or whatever,
doesn't mean that he's necessarily completely correct.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I just listened to everything I could do and just tried to do everything with a smile. Like, I wish I said to Vince on my first day, hey man, if this gets me in hot water, I'm sorry, but I got to tell you, like, I could do something different. Please let me put my money where my mouth is.
But did you pitch the circus?
I told him about the circus stuff, which he was totally cool with, and I was totally cool with. I just, the name and speaking all the carny gibberish, I just thought, Vince totally wanted me to be a good guy. All the agents, all the writers, everybody was just like, dude, you're kind of totally a bad guy. Mm-hmm. And that's how I felt. And at the time, I really wrestled as a bad guy. Like now, I'm 9 out of 10 times I wrestle as a good guy. And all my weird, like, even D'Lo would joke. He's like, how does a guy that wears the John Wayne Gacy looking basement, how is he a babyface? But just a comment on society.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I, in my sleep, no problem. But then I was pretty much a heel, So he wanted me be a good guy. So they kind of spit me out like that. And I just wish I had just said, hey, could I start as a bad guy and earn the right to be a good guy?
And what was his vision for the character?
I remember him saying something about Undertaker with a smile. Like, he wanted me to be Joker meets the devil kind of a thing. And he was like, man, you got a great smile. You got wild eyes and a, big, crazy smile. And, and we got along really well. Like, we had a really fun sit down and all that stuff. And I think it is all my fault, because I use the word carnival instead of sideshow or freak show. I just thought I put it in terms that he would wrap his brain around, wrestling and the carnival and so forth. So I said Carnival. So of course he comes up with Kazarni. Thanks, Vince. And I'm going to be a good little soldier. I was always taught, you know, take what they give you, do what you're told, just do it as best as you can. And so visually I chose to be that. And but all of like, the spots I would do were all, I had healer spots. I had to like rethink everything, which would have been fine. I just was kind of thrown to it and was getting mixed match signals from all over the place. And I remember walking through Gorilla for like that first match with MVP. And I looked at Dr. Tom and I was just like, I shrugged my shoulders like, what do I do? You know, and he just looked at me like, I don't know. And I'm like, oh, great. Dr. Tom doesn't know what to do. We're screwed, you know?
Yeah.
And, but I did. I just tried to do everything that I was told. Because
there's
was
a lot
own.
Of vignettes, too. Like you mentioned, the kind of the circus.
Right. Vignettes,
but then you spoke Carney.
Right. Okay, so that's another thing. So being a babyface, you know, he wants me to speak nothing but this Carney. Well, that's aggravating after me. A good guy doesn't need to be aggravating. A bad guy could be aggravating. Yeah. You know, good guy, not so much. And I thought, like,
and Carney, just if you're listening, is like you stick an Izzy in the middle of it. Hey, Nizik, it's Krizis, Jezerico, his ear during the Pizzog disaster. Something like that, right?
Yes, for shizzle my nizzle.
Now, like rappers use it.
I've had dudes come up to me and say, I remember this blingy, this brother all blinged out, came up to me in a gas station after the vignettes were just airing. And he's like, yo, Kazarni, for shizzle my nizzle.
And that's where it came from. But that used to be the secret language of wrestling.
Yes.
For years, even when I first started, wrestlers would only speak Carney
totally.
In front of the Mizarks.
Right?
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of when Vince was just like, he goes, so I thought of this thing. I want you to be Kazarni. And he's like looking around like it's some important secret stuff that he's unloading on me. Like he's like, it's Carney for Carney. You get it? And I'm like, yeah, I get it. He goes, can you speak Carney? And my biggest mistake was saying, Yizzes is like Kizan. And he's like, oh, wonderful. Here we go. I'm like, oh, shit.
But see, you're not the first to get a gimmick. Like I just had Kane on the show, and we were talking about Isaac Yankum,
sure.
Which could possibly be the worst gimmick ever. And it's not something you can really get over. And it's a one-trick pony,
sure.
Much like Kazarni.
Sure.
Did you have a chance to get this over? Because I don't remember. I remember you not. I wasn't there when you were there, but you didn't stay very long.
No, I was in developmental for a little while, and I wrestled with Sin Bodhi, which was I looked like what Kazarni looked like, and I was a fun bad guy.
Right.
You know, sometimes I was scary. Sometimes I was funny. I just really, depending on who I was working, is how I would adjust what I was going to do. And I really didn't have a whole lot of experience just being a good guy. Like out of the few years that I'd wrestled up until getting the job with WWE, I was 99% a bad guy. So they bring me up. Everybody's confused. Vince is angry at whoever for just like, well, I think he's a bad guy or I think he's a good guy. And everybody thinks, you know, so he was frustrated with that. But we got along fine. And I said, I'll be a good guy. I just, you know, I want to do a good job or whatever. But we filmed those vignettes like in one day at a carnival at the World of Wonders and some state fair someplace. Yeah. So I wasn't there. Like, you know, I wasn't backstage. I was in Florida and I'd flown up to do these vignettes and I flew back and I was just doing Florida, like FCW shows. And then when I brought up, I did a bunch of like live events, but really hardly like any TV. And then I was supposed to debut, and then I wasn't, and then I was, and I wasn't. And then Vince just got hot one day. It was just like, he needs to, why do you mean he doesn't debut? Put him on. And they kind of stuffed me on. And I was, I think whoever was programming it kind of just shoved me in. And I ended up being sort of a prefix to one of the MVP storylines where he was like on a losing streak. And so he's like, oh, geez, who am I going to wrestle? Just whoever it is, bring him out. So out I come. So he's getting that babyface sympathy. And it was at the Izod, which I guess is sort of notoriously a heel crowd. So I think confusion was my only friend that day. It was like the third hour of a 4-hour taping, so people are tired. I'm wrestling a guy who's turning into a babyface, so they have sympathy for him. And I look creepy, so I look like a bad guy. So, okay. So, like, the match was fine. There was nothing, I don't think anything wrong with the match, per se. I think it just wasn't what a debut match should have been.
Right.
Like, I should have, like, killed, I don't know.
Yeah, sure.
Somebody in, like, 10 seconds, right. You know.
Done something creepy and, you know. You know.
Yeah, I mean, so I'll paint a picture for you. This was what I suggested, and they were just like, that's awesome. And then they didn't do anything. So instead of me coming out to a jumbotron of just digital Ferris wheels and squeaking out a 10-minute victory over a guy on a losing streak,
yeah,
my suggestion was like, come out, instead of any kind of pyro, have like all like the black and purple. Like, you remember like the old Star Trek smoke or Flash Gordon smoke?
Yeah.
Just have like unicycles and midgets and cats and
make
penguins
a big thing
and,
about it, yeah.
Yeah, and just come out almost in the very like Batman 2 Danny DeVito mobile, you know, like a big duck or a big something, you know, whatever, some weird thing, and not even see me, and have like the babyface being like, what the hell? And have like kind of like the sunroof open, like a hot box, and him look under and have a big boxing glove pop up, and you know, that kind of stuff. And then I would come as he was selling the boxing glove and come 1, 2, 3, you know, bing, bong, boom, 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Which is cool. Like you mentioned, if it's Undertaker with a smile, and they've never done that, a big creepy circus
right.
clown freak show entrance to fit it.
I mean, you know, like there's definitely elements of like, you know, doink. And also, I mean, there's a million different things that I sort of like drew from.
Yeah.
But even today, I mean, like maybe they wouldn't have saw the doink thing then, maybe more so now. I guess it's the obvious. It's like right. saying every white guy with a black ponytail looks like Steven Seagal. So everybody in clown paint, they're all clowns, you know, so.
Yeah.
But I just, that was what I pitched. And I thought it was, you know, that would be visually pretty intriguing. And then too, like, again, if I was just a bad guy, if I was a fun bad guy for any length, then that would by proxy kind of flip me into a baby face. And, mm-hmm. But they didn't want to do that. And going back to those old matches of like, you know, Maple Leaf Gardens with like me and Adam and Jay would go watch. I remember seeing Shane Douglas and he was like brand new. We didn't know who he was. He was just brand new guy doing a dark match, little pink, shiny undies, bleach blonde mullet. And he was wrestling, I want to say maybe Brooklyn Brawler or somebody, but everybody cheered him because he was the blue eyed fish shaken baby face. Like it was just an era where you cheered the good guy, you booed the bad guy. That's just not how it is. You know, I'm like, I need to earn it. That's why, you know, I think starting as a bad guy is kind of a no-brainer, especially on a show star-studded with sure, all these of course. Talented people. You know,
so but you keep talking about the fact that you kind of miscast. But how long were you miscast? Because like I said, how long were you actually there?
I wasn't on TV for very long. I had like a match. I did a battle royal for like a Money in the Bank thing or something.
And that was it.
And that was it. And then I just did a couple months worth of live shows. And even that was, I was really proud of that because, you know, I'm traveling with Adam quite a bit. And he's good enough friends that he's going to tell me if something sucks or if something's good or whatever. He's not going to pull any punches. So, you know, he was giving me a lot of great advice and, you know, kind of keeping my head on. You know, I'm like this nameless dude on a show full of Hardy Boys, Triple H, right, Big Show, Undertaker, you know, all these guys. And then there's little old me in the middle. Like, I'm not even curtain jerking just to get it out of the way. I'm like in the middle. And so every night we got a pretty good response. I'd come back and the agents always seem to be pretty happy. And like, I was joking with Adam one night telling him like, I don't know if you realize this, but just because we are very good friends and you are who you are in this industry, it was a really cool double whammy to get a compliment from me. And he's like, well, I didn't even think about it like that. And so I wrestled in Tupelo, Mississippi against Eric Perez, who was like also there for 10 seconds, yeah, you know, and we had a really fun match and Steamboat was our agent. And he goes, and Steamboat was like, okay, because Arnie, I know, you want to get silly whenever I'm going to let you off the leash. So here you go. So go dance like Elvis tonight and, you know, whatever. I'm like, okay. So we went out and amongst all these guys like Big Show and Triple H and everybody, we got a really good ovation. And we came in the back and Steamboat's like imitating my weird swimmy body language. And he's like, that was awesome. And then Adam's there and he's like, that was awesome. So two different guys, you know,
that you respect,
that I respect the hell out of, were, you know, give me a compliment. I was just like, sweet, winner, winner, chicken dinner. And then a week later, jobless.
Oh, man.
So I really, to this day, I couldn't tell you. I have no closure on it. And I don't have any heat with WWE. Like, I'd go back in a drop of a dime. I think any wrestler that says otherwise is a big fat liar.
How was that for you? Like, you know, you mentioned, like, your whole life building up to this moment to get in WWE and then getting the gimmick. And now you're starting to make it work and then getting the call that you're done.
It was stupefying. I remember I was in a tattoo parlor with Angelina Love when Johnny called me and said, you gotta let you go. I'm like, why? He's like, I don't know. I just gotta let you go. Bye. And I'm like, awesome. And I have no idea why. So it was almost like breaking up with a girlfriend that you had no closure with.
Tell me why. Like, it's not you, it's me. Yeah.
Something like, you know, I'm like, did I offend somebody? I'm like, I don't think so because I was always pretty polite. Like I was never, you know, dizouche to anybody, but I don't think.
Right.
You know, it's not how I roll wrestling or just in life, you know, but I have no idea why. I just know that the agents were happy. I think the only time the agents were ever annoyed, and I think in a good way, was, I mean, you know how some of the guys are, they get out of their cars and they walk their rolly bags and they don't even look at the crowd, you know, like they're just, whether they're maybe shy and pretending to be too cool for school or maybe they're dickheads, I don't know. I'd sit there and sign stuff and take photos and be hammy with them until, you know, Arn or Dean or somebody be like, get in here, we got to talk about, you know, I would always be very fan friendly.
Fan friendly, yeah.
Yeah.
So what did you do? Like, is that, you know, I mean, did you think, okay, I'm finished or I now have to find another place to go? Or I'm just going to do my own thing.
I got in a bad mood all over again. I remember thinking like, man, I've always worked hard. I'm always polite. You know, I'm kind of getting, and I'm not a woe is me guy. So don't get wrong what I'm about to say. I just felt like, you know, I kind of felt shafted that I just got punished for something I hadn't done. I didn't even know what's going on.
Have an answer.
Right. And I just thought, you know what? It's not how many times you get knocked off. It's how many times you get back on. So I just thought, okay. So I started taking bookings. I think I worked for Carlos Colon like that following week. Jim Rose was my first call like that day, I think. Like he called me and was like, you want to come work for me? I'm like, yes, I do.
Who was that?
Jim Rose.
Okay, so right.
And then, so I kept busy. And I just went back to that grind that I did as a indie guy before WWE and in between TNA and WWE. And I just worked and worked and worked. And I did that Dynamite Death Monkeys thing, which was like kind of me doing what I wanted to do instead of like asking all these, should I, could I, would I, you know, I just sort of thought the gloves were off right there. And I was kind of in my piss and vinegar, my polite piss and vinegar mode, you know?
So how did you start come up with the idea of Freak Show Wrestling?
Dynamite Death Monkeys was the precursor to it. Like what I would do is, you know, as you know, being a musician, Tampa is like pretty heavy metal oriented, death metal oriented. So I was sort of notorious at that time in like, you know, 09, 2010 ish. Like I would do a lot of these, I would open these concerts or be in between these acts and we would do this Dynamite Death Monkeys thing. And I had two different,
it's like a circus,
like a circus thing on stage, very Jim Rose esque, but I did it very itchy and scratchy style where we would kind of blow into this very elaborate, funny, scary fight scene at the end with like weapons and the beds of nails and all the weird stuff and just funny stuff, silly string and beds of nails and rabbits and chainsaws and
as you do,
you know, another day at the office,
the typical.
And I was pretty horrific. Like there was funny stuff that I riddled throughout it to keep people sort of on their toes, but I really aimed it to be pretty heavy duty because Arnie was so PG and fluffy. Like I remember filling those vignettes and them saying, you sound too scary, like lower your voice. And next thing I keep on like, or hire, I guess, hiring my voice. And next thing you know, I'm Kazarni. Hi, you know, you know, facial my nizzle, you know? And so I went back to what I felt like when Dusty was helping me produce the whole Sinbodhi thing before, Kazarni was like, he's like, okay, baby, just say some Connie at the end of your crazy evil shit and then we'll get out. And I'm like, okay. So I'd say like, you know, Chris, I'm going to do this. And I'm going to, you know, my fingers are going to run up to your throat like a bunch of itsy bitsy spiders. And then I would say something in Carney to close it out. And he's like, that's some creepy shit, baby. Keep it up, daddy. I'm like, okay. And so Death Monkeys was, like, I was getting bloody from like nails and staples and beds and all this crazy stuff. And even like death metal fans were like, oh my God, this guy's like,
even Cannibal Corpse fans are saying it's too much. Yeah.
I remember Cannibal Corpse guys would be there like doing like cooking barbecues and stuff. The one dude was always like cooking for everybody and all these, they're like, you crazy, man. You know, like I remember one night I had a big industrial staple stuck in my head so deep that one of my guys, Titan, we had Titan and Bad Seed were two actually former developmental guys as well, and I kind of showed them what to do, and then we would fight at the back end. And he goes to pull this thing out, and he's like, "I'm like Titan, I can't get this out." And I'm like kind of whispering off mic, and he's like, "Hold on, boss." And he grabs my head, you know, and he grabs a pair of pliers and just yanks it, and just blood, you know, everywhere. I just totally bukkake'd the front row with my forehead sauce. It was awesome. It was awesome. It was pretty good stuff. And people were just like, "That dude is nuts."
So you're trying to take this concept, this character, into a whole wrestling promotion?
Yeah, so we did it without the ring. We did it like just on stage as part of the show, and I would literally tell promoters for like the concerts, like, book me like a band. I'm just playing weapons, not instruments. So give me a setup time, give me a set time, and give me a teardown time. And they would, and it was always really fun. We did like, we'd crap out of like Ybor City and all those places. I was like this notorious whatever. So wrestling, like TNA wasn't panning out, WWE wasn't panning out. So I was married to Stacy Carter at the time, and we decided.
You were married to her? I didn't know that.
Yeah, me and Jerry Lawler are Eskimo brothers.
I didn't know you guys were married. Wow, that's funny.
Yeah. So, you know, we were both kind of frustrated. And again, Jim Rose came a call in again. It was just like, man, Vegas is built for you. It was like, you're nuts. Vegas is nuts. It'll be a sweet marriage. So we went out there. And then Freak Show Wrestling was born. That's where we found a local promotion to kind of like work with and whatever. And so I kind of kept the acronym the same. They actually, you did the intro for their show yesterday, I believe.
Oh, is that Freak?
That wasn't that, Freak. No, that was FSW, which is Future Stars of Wrestling.
Yeah.
So it was a really nice Vegas show, really good show. And so when I first moved to town, they had FSW. So we sort of agreed that, you know, we would try to, you know, keep it under one banner. See, so yeah. I came up with Freak Show Wrestling.
Right.
Which I wasn't even the same like Sin, same like, you know, all that stuff. I wasn't a big fan of the name. That was just what it was, you know. And so we did that. And then we kind of went our separate ways. And then, you know, me and Joe DeFalco, the guy that owns FSW, we were always sort of on the same page, not on the same page, on the same page, not on the same page. So now we're sort of getting back on the same page. So we'll see what's.
But also, it's funny because, like I said, when I remember seeing a show years ago in LA, it was called Lucha Vavoom.
Yeah.
And it was a show where, like, it's like, it's just a spectacle.
Sure.
It's a wrestling show, but
Lucha
it's
dipped in acid and burlesque, yes.
And there's all these crazy characters, sure. All sorts of stuff. And that's kind of what freak show wrestling is. So let's, sure. That when I had Corey on, he was telling me he had just seen it. And we were talking about Frank and Chicken. He's a bad mother clucker.
yes.
But you're talking about, and I like, there's like the ghost of Michael Jackson versus the ghost of Whitney Houston. Like, yes. Tell me, like, some of, like, give me a list of the roster of freak show wrestling that you've had over the years.
So we've had Black Annie, Gadolf Hitler. That was the Gadolf Hitler was possibly my funnest creation. I had that written in the back of my head for years. I'm like, who could I saddle with this gimmick? Like, you know, like, you know, that's like, you know, albatrossing somebody with Kazarni or something.
Well, it's like a gay Kazarni. It's right. A gay Kazarni.
And I, there was this comedian who did Mime Freak on my show, who's a really funny, shameless comedian. And I just thought, I had this idea. I'm like, do you think you could do this? And I explained it to him, and he was just like, yes. I just saw his wheels turning. I'm like, okay, this guy's
so does
got
it matter
balls.
If these guys can even wrestle or you just have them go
no
up there?
Some of them could wrestle, some of them can't wrestle, some of them would be just characters, just right. You know, at the show doing stuff like Scorch the Clown is a big fire breathing clown. He doesn't wrestle, he would just do funny stuff or scary stuff or whatever. And
okay, so Scorch the Clown, Gadolf Hitler,
Stacia was our Sin City strong woman. A lot of these people were like literally in Guinness World Records. Like Stacia is in Guinness World Records for like all sorts of like pain endurance and so forth. Like, you know, I've got some Guinness stuff under my belt. A lot of those guys, like Swing Shift Sideshow, was guests always on my show, and they're like in Guinness a million times.
Which
over.
Guinness do you have?
I'm tied for, figure that out. I'm tied for most watermelons cut in half on a human naked belly with a ninja sword. 47.
In a row?
In a minute.
Yeah. Who's doing the cutting?
I was doing the cutting and...
Whose stomach were you hitting?
First, I did it
Your
with...
lovely assistant?
Yeah, not so lovely assistant. I did it with Techno Destructo from Guar. So that was pretty sweet. I'm assuming Max was like my melon handler. I thought it was apropos. And then we came back the next year and I did it with my girl at the time, who was like the Cirque du Soleil, you know...
Gotcha.
High-flying, crazy girl. And it was Mindy Robinson and Masumi Max were my dual melon handlers. So we were right there. And I know, I think it almost speaks to my Kazarni thing because I hit like more than, I don't know, I want to say like I did like 59, but they disqualified a bunch because, like, you know, some of them were like, you know, quarter inch left. I'm like, so you want, okay, I'm just trying not to like kill a human being,
yeah, exactly.
You know, so I'm like, okay, I'll take the tie, sure.
Whatever. So and give me some other names of the roster.
Oh man, we had Ghost of Macho Man on there. That was pretty sweet. Yeah.
Wow.
Dude. And I had him tag with Jake one night and Jake's like, brother, he's really good. Like, that's creepy, bro. You know, I mean, the guy looks and moves and the same size and everything, you know, it was really cool. I've had guys, oh geez, there's so many. Had like Boogeyman and Gangrel and all the, you know, Chavo, yeah, and all these guys.
Indie guys, yeah. But
Sage Supreme is a girl who's she's like the daughter of this LA hardcore legend, and she wears like this pumpkin paint, and she's a really good wrestler, good up and coming girl. Shelly Martinez, and she always did the creepy stuff. Yeah. She was regular. Leroy Patterson, he's also like a human dartboard, tackboard kind of a guy. He's on like Guinness World Records, America's Got Talent. He would dress up like a Zach Galifianakis impersonator, and he would have the baby, and he would
hangover baby.
Yeah, and he would like plancha the baby over the top ropes, and the guys would take the bump off of it. And it was weird, like, you know, the characters a lot of the times were like spoof characters, and what people don't realize about Freak Show is like funny and as scary and as sexy and as crazy as it was like it's a farce.
It's almost as like something you would see like on a trauma movie,
totally,
like a Lloyd Kaufman type of a thing.
Well, but what I would do is I would take things that I don't like about pro wrestling, and then I would totally, you know, dig at it there. Like, I can't stand seeing like guys almost like they're singing Kumbaya standing next to each other waiting for a dive.
They just fight each other
until somebody lands on you. You'll it's coming, you know.
Sure. When you can telegraph that there's going to be a dive. Yeah.
So I would literally have guys literally outside holding hands singing Kumbaya waiting for a baby to dive on them. So just everything I thought was ridiculous about wrestling.
But I just love like when you had, like, for example, the one that really intrigued me, and when you had the ghost of Whitney Houston.
Right. That made it to TMZ.
There's a lot of that sort of stuff that you have on there. Are you actually having matches, or does it?
There's matches and segments. Like, we would do stuff like I had one of a local guy from LA dress up as me, and we did like an inner demons match. So it was me versus me.
Okay.
Kevin Sullivan was like the guest, whatever. He even his mind was, he's like, kid, this is like the craziest, this is the funnest shit I've ever seen.
That's good, yeah.
And it's stuff like that. We'd have Michael Jackson knife fights. Like we'd tape each other, hands to each other, and we, instead of having little like switchblades, we'd play Beat It in the background. We'd have machetes, and
I'm just looking at your roster here.
Oh yeah,
and it's so mostly there's a lot of creepy looking characters and stuff, but Black Annie, that's a good
Black Annie. Funny Bone has been my, I kind of went into the Bruno Sammartino route, and there's only been one champion at Freaks of Wrestling for the years that it's been on is Funny Bone.
It's Funny Bone.
Super talented dude. He was, I think, again, you know, even with me not realizing, like, you know, I got to train with a lot of cool, really reputable dudes, and Funny Bone, I think when you see an overly, you know, flamboyant character, you think, well, maybe he can't work or something, maybe he's, you know, whatever. But he was trained by Nick Bockwinkel. He was like the last guy, sort of like how Tyson Kidd was kind of like last guy kind of out of the dungeon, like he was out of Bockwinkel's camp. And he's very good. He can get it done on the mat, up in the air, and trade knuckle sandwiches.
You got Andrea the Giant.
Andrea the Giant. She is awesome.
Go ahead.
Cereal Man. So good.
Gadolf Hitler. That's the guy. One Leroy Wolfpack.
That is the Zach Leroy Office Patterson. The
Zach Here's Office. The good one. Drugs Bunny.
Drugs Bunny is phenomenal. I love him.
What does he do?
He comes out and he kind of throws a bunch of cocaine in his face and just, you know, revs up and tears into everybody. And he's got the you know, the bunny ears and he's like, looks like a half man, half rabbit kind of thing. And it's funny that you bring up Drugs Bunny and guys like Nurse Ratched is another one. That character is so creepy, and she is so talented. Like, she could literally like walk the top ropes from buckle to buckle, and she's doing it in high heels, and then jumps off and hurricane rana somebody, and
wow,
just crazy stuff. And but some of those characters are regulars on a cousin show to mine called Hood Slam, and they do their show in Oakland, which is very, you know, punk rock oriented. So Hood Slam, the difference between Hood Slam and Freak Show is Hood Slam is more pot and video games, and Freak Show is more, you know, kind of violence and a variety show of sorts. So we're going to do, this summer, we're going to do Hood Slam versus Freak Show in Vegas.
See, that's great. This is the one I forgot. That's why I want to look this up. Clownvis
is awesome.
Is he evil clown or a clown Elvis?
Yes.
Clownvis.
Here's his story is he did American Idol, whichever it was where... what was it where Sharon Osbourne was one of the judges?
Howie Mandel.
There you go. Yeah. So they asked him, I guess, to sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm because they wanted a copyright safe song or whatever. So he's playing ball. He's like, okay. So as soon as he gets out there, he realized very quickly they start buzzing him and he gets thrown to the wolves because they're like, why would you pick that song? You know, and whatever. And so he turns heel. You know, he figures he's like, I know I'm getting railroaded. I better just, you know, better to be railroaded as a bad guy and look like you're asking
for it.
You know, so he starts, I don't know, cracking on Sharon about Ozzy or whatever, and she gets hot and starts cussing him out, and he put it over like a bad guy, you know, and he's backpedaling and all this stuff, and it was funny and whatever. And then he did like bits on his shows where like he would have like, you know, a Sharon Osbourne sort of really bad Sharon
on his
Osbourne
shows. Was he a comedian? Is he
stand-up? He's a stand-up comedian, a singer. He actually could sing like Elvis. Like, he sounds really good.
Gotcha.
He'll just sing really dumb songs as Elvis kind of thing. And so he would have like this really bad Sharon Osbourne impersonator, like kind of call up on the loudspeakers, like clown miss, and just heal on him. And
it's great though, like you know, Stink Floyd is
Stink
there.
Floyd's another dude. There's so many.
The Pressler. Here's a good one. Sing, and it's a guy dressed in Sting makeup doing like a Elias Samson guitar thing.
So Sing is. A really cool comedian in Vegas. I saw him just doing a set in a t-shirt and jeans on a burlesque show. And my wheels were always turning. I'm like, hey, would you want to do Freak Show? And we'll doll you up like Sting. And he's like, yes, I would. And so it got over and we brought him back a few times. He'd come out and sing like ridiculous stuff. He would sing, you know. And then DePressler, that was a really fun one. So we saddled this dude in this, you know, he come out all moping, kind of like Eeyore, you know. And he would, you know, he'd set up the good guy like in the middle of the ring. He's going to jump to the top rope and do something. And the good guy would move and he'd be like, oh, you know, and everybody, he just kind of mope. And then he'd go to the edge of the apron like he's going to jump like off, like he's going to, you know, everybody's like, jump, jump, jump. And he pull out a gun like he's going to like do himself in because
jump, jump. You got Donald Trump.
Donald Trump, phenomenal. It's in the can. It's I'm still kind of editing it as we speak, but I just did a close set at our studio. We had the snake pit there in Vegas, and I wrestled Donald Trump, and it's completely ridiculous. And of course, you know, why wouldn't it? Of course, it's got to be
Donald Trump,
right? And he was doing all these funny bits, and then when Donald Trump actually got, you know, the presidency, this comedian was really upset. He's like, "Man, it's not funny anymore." I'm like, "What? You're locked into a gig for at least another 4 years, bro. What are you worried about?"
It always reminds me of that Eddie Murphy bit where it's like when Jesse Jackson ran for president. Right. Yeah, I voted for Jesse Jackson. He f-ing won? What?
Yeah, that's the deal.
And there's another one. God is signed to Freak Show Wrestling.
God and Satan.
And he looks angry. He's giving you the finger. In this one.
God and Satan have unleashed wasps and whoopee cushions and you name it.
You have God versus Satan?
I've had God versus Satan. They've made multiple appearances. Dude, I know people.
You know God. So are these guys, and then just one more last one, Gorgeous Gary Galaxy, which deserves a mention.
Sure.
But when you're having like God versus Satan once again, like is there that many independent guys in Vegas where you can actually put on a match, or is it just friends, or is it guy? Like I'm assuming that God versus Satan doesn't have to be a 5-star match.
My answer to everything you just said is yes. Yeah, there's some really good workers in Vegas, and you know, between California and Arizona and where have you.
And you can pad the show with your John Morrisons. Totally. Type of guys. Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes the greener workers that are maybe more of a legit comedian, but a green worker, like Donald Trump is a wrestler, you know, a very green wrestler and with limited experience. He's been around for a couple of years, but just dabbled in it, where he's a proper, like he's a voice actor, he's a comedian, and so forth. Or Techno Destructo, you know, that's the dude, one of the creators of Guar, you know, I mean, he's a stage savvy performer, just kind of a slightly green wrestler, only just, that's just how it is, you know? So I would just be very Paul Heyman-y in the sense of how to book these guys to make them look good, you know? And again, just over the years, like I started out, I was awful. I just really tried to learn how to up my strengths and diminish my weaknesses, and you know.
So for Freak Show Wrestling, how often do you run shows?
I have run up to 5 shows a month. I run bi-monthly shows. Now I'm just going to do just big, giant extravaganza shows. So we've got this Freak Show versus Hood Slam coming up this summer, and we're just working on all the details right now. And I think, again, Freak Show is very Vegas savvy, like Vegas underground, like all the fans are like, oh geez, okay, that's where the nuts come out.
Yeah.
So
where do you guys run at?
Fremont Country Club. It's a really awesome venue right downtown Vegas. They host a lot of cool bands. They just had ICP there. They've had you name it, they've had everybody. They had Guar there not too long ago.
What kind of crowds do you draw?
Packed, crazy, nutty crowds that are sort of half, I think, hipster and half wrestling fans, where the wrestling fans just want to see what crazy thing I'm going to make, you know, a celebrity wrestler do. Like you can see, you know, all these guys, and they're all wonderful performers, but you can see them on these shows wherever across the planet. But now you get to see them do something they're not ever going to do, probably never again. You know, they all run out there, they all giggle, like they're like, man, I must really like you to do this. And then they come out and then they have a great time. They're like, can I come back? Like Morrison, I had Chavo. He wrestled the Invisible Man. You know, that was pretty sweet.
Really? So he's basically wrestling himself.
Yeah.
What do you say to him? Like, do you call him with this idea?
Yeah. Some of the, I should really like record a lot of these phone calls. Like, you want me to do what? Morrison dressing up as Jesus wrestling Santa Claus.
Oh, okay.
Dude, he killed it. He was awesome.
I was wondering if he was going to be God's tag team partner.
He came out and we gave him like Mother Mary. And then Mary Magdalene kind of ran in a little bit late, like, why did you come to the ring already? Blah, 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 blah. You know, you're always bringing your mom. He's like, my mother's always on time, bitch, and all this stuff. And so it was pretty ridiculous. And it was cool, too, because I had a lot of extras that were like, you know, green guys or students as elves and apostles. So they kind of get to hear Morrison sort of like hear me and him talking about like, this is what I want you to kind of fit this and this in. And then so John would agent it out. So he's delegating these elves and apostles who have no business being in there with him.
Right,
so
right.
They're getting kind of like a really awesome field trip.
Is this something that could only work in Vegas, or have you ever thought about taking it on tour?
I think it's actually really hard to do it in Vegas because I'm not so worried about other wrestling shows. Like out of just being polite and trying to work with other shows, I wouldn't, you know, do a show in the same day on purpose or anything. But when you've got Britney Spears and Blue Man Group and Chris Angel and Fozzy, all these things.
Well, that's the thing. Like we sold out last night, but I was worried at first. 'Cause you're like, there's so much stuff going on.
Right.
You really have to commit if you want to hustle. Show out here.
You got to be a hustler. You got to, you know, put flyers up here and you got to like it. I always would bark at my guys. Like I call it poopsting. Just multitask. Like, share while you're dropping the kids off at the pool. Like multitask. Like,
yeah,
what else you got better to do?
Yeah.
And, Yeah, just...
Have you thought about taking it on tour?
Yeah, I've had a lot of requests to get it out of the state where I think, like, you know, just like, you know, wrestling shows have always notoriously been awesome for, like, B markets, like Ice Capades and wrestling, you know, Big Bird on Ice, like,
yeah,
come
yeah.
to little town, and that's what there is, and one newspaper ad, one radio commercial, and the whole town knows you're there. Versus, you know, here or even across the street in LA, like you could spend $1 million on advertising and never know you were there.
Yeah.
So Vegas is kind of sort of almost like that, but it just, I think there's over 300 shows on any given night here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just that is a thin spread. And then all the fans that are out and about that are coming in from, you know, Kentucky, Michigan, wherever, magically figuring out how to advertise to all of them is sort of needle in a haystack stuff. So you really have to be very clever about how you advertise. And we do a lot, every kind of promotion you could think of. Again, I just hustle, mm-hmm. just trying to, you know.
Do you still work in the indies as Sin Bodhi too?
Yeah, I. That's another reason why I thought just to build the freak show as an extravaganza so people could look forward to it, gives me time. Like, I can wrestle for different promoters every night of the week. Like, I'm mechanically in good, you know, working shape. I mean, I've never looked like Bundy and I've never looked like Rick Rude, but I'm put together safely and I can work every night.
Yeah.
But putting on a show, as you know, is hard. It just takes, you know, takes out of your pocketbook, takes out of your soul, takes out of everything that you're doing. Whereas if I could just show up and be talent, like, oh, I'm a good guy, I'm a bad guy, I'm wrestling this guy, I'm
20 minutes later, get your money and go home.
Done. Yeah. I can do that in my sleep and I love it. So I just thought, especially like this year, I really had a long talk with my, I guess I'm living in sin. Is that like, pardon the pun or whatever, but I have a non-wifey wife who, Karen, hi, Karen, I love you, Karen. Karen, all right,
don't, shout out.
Don't kill me, Karen. Love you. She's like the chicken hawk to my foghorn leghorn. Like, she always is defending me, always has my back. And so we just really discussed and like saying like, okay, well, I'm not old, but I'm not young. So I should really like take some time and focus on having some fun and going and doing some bookings, just enjoying what I want to do.
Right.
And because I can book freak show as a 60-year-old man if I mm-hmm. had to, or I can sure. draw, or I can do tattoos, or I can write comic books when I'm old and rickety, but you know, how many years can I wrestle? And again, I'm still knock on wood in good mm-hmm. working shape, but you know, why not have some fun and be on the road? Like, that's what I've always done. So I make sure to put a healthy time into booking. So
it seems pretty like you could do this on the road, because it is very, like, I wouldn't go see, you know, just random indie promotion.
Sure.
No, if that's just not my thing, but I would sure. go to this show.
Sure.
For the same reason why Corey was just espousing, because it's thanks, so Corey. Fun to see, like, just all the different ideas and gimmicks and characters, knowing that it's not going to be, like we mentioned, a 5-star match, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, and two, like, some guys will have a really awesome match, but then gotcha. Some guys are having these really terrible, like, on purpose, like, you know, or we've set it up to be, you know, like, I mean, I would put in, let's say, Scorch the Fire Breathing Clown, who's got this big old derby on him. It looks like he's pregnant 10 times over. Funny, he's the funniest and scariest guy all at the same time. And then Stacia, who is a legit strong woman and Guinness World Records, and we would have them in a tug of war contest with we put like a little kiddie pool, like a turtle pool in the middle of the ring. And we set up we put this giant white, great white shark fin in it. And we rigged it up to like a little remote control car. So it was like spinning around the thing. We had it all like laced with like this kind of like blood stuff. And so when Stacia yanked the clown and he face bumps into this stuff, and then he starts squirming around, like rolling around with like this shark fin, you know, he's just flopping and blood's flying everywhere and people are laughing their asses off.
Yeah.
You know, so there's segments as much as matches. Mm-hmm. And those are actually harder to produce because, you know, I could just say, okay, Chris, you're wrestling Hurricane tonight. You're the good guy. You go over, done. Yeah, you guys are, right. You can go do it in your sleep.
Yeah.
Where this is like, okay, tonight, Chris, you're going to be the monkey. Shane, you're going to be the banana. I need lots of slipping on the banana peels. I need humping the aprons. I need you to climb up, you know, grab the valet and climb up the apron and do the Fay Wray thing from the top rope. And we'll throw paper airplanes at you and you can take a bump. You know.
Have you had that?
Yes. And Andrea the Giant did that.
Andrea the Giant?
Yeah. Yeah. She got scared, went up to the top rope with the valet on her shoulder. And the banana threw paper airplanes at her until she took a bump off the top there. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, man. Yeah. Last couple of questions. What's your favorite gimmick that you've had in freak show wrestling?
Oh boy. I would definitely have to say Gadolf Hitler, because he was supposed to be a one-off. Like, I remember when I put that cartoon picture on the poster, because I didn't want to even show what he was going to look like. He didn't even really look like Hitler. So I had like a parody of, you know, where Superman's holding Supergirl in the comic books, you know, she's like dead or whatever. So we did that, and it's Gadolf holding Sage, this pumpkin girl from LA. Yeah. And people are like messaging me like, man, do you think you're going too far with this one? I'm like, no, I got it in my head. I know what's going to happen. This is going to be awesome. Trust me. And all the workers, they, you know, I'm super humbled by, like, they would all follow me into battle. Like, whatever crazy ideas I had, they were all like, let's go, dude. Yeah. Let's do it. And so he came out, and he was going to be just a one-off, one-time bad guy. He got over so well. He just turned into, like, freak shows, like, number one babyface, and been on every show ever since. Like, he's very, like, method actor, where because he's a comedian and a wrestler. And he would get into this character, and, like, it was just the weirdest thing. Like, once he was in it, and, like, I had Boogeyman on that show, and Crime Time, and, like, Ezekiel Jackson, all these big brothers. All the brothers were like, I want to wrestle the gay Nazi. I'm like, wouldn't have thunk it, you know? But everybody's like, when can I wrestle Gadoff? When can I wrestle Gadoff? I had Dr. Tom come on the show, and before he flew in, he's like, got a couple questions for you, man. And I'm like, what's up? And he's like, do I get to wrestle an octopus, and do I get to wrestle Gadoff Hitler? Oh, yeah, by the way, we have an octopus on the roster. Okay. Big, giant Leviathan-y octopus. And I'm like, well, you're going to tag with the octopus. And yes, you will wrestle Gadoff Hitler. He's like, that's all I need to know. I'll see you soon.
Is that the most controversial, quote unquote, Gadoff Hitler?
Yeah. But when people see him and then they get what's going on. Like,
but I mean, when you see, like, you know, the ghost of Whitney Houston, like, right, 2 weeks after she dies.
Right.
That's kind of a
little, I think, bit, like, I didn't time it that ill. I think she had powdered for a while. I think it was comedically the right time to slide it on in there and capitalize on that. But yeah, I mean, there's been some pretty raunchy times at Free Show. There's been some pretty silly times, some pretty cool times, you know. Like, it's weird. Like, there's been legit babies made at Freak Show Wrestling. I mean, there's, like, families of, like, you know, people got married and, you know, had kids, or relationships and friendships have been facilitated. I mean, that, to me, that was just, like, as a kind of a hippie, artsy-ish guy, I'm like, that's pretty cool. Like, babies have spawned out of Freak Show Wrestling. Yeah, like, not just the one we throw through the air either.
Last question. What was your favorite match that you ever had?
Oh, boy. Oh, man. That's a really good question.
The one that stands up?
Oh, geez. I would have to say, I'm going to put over Gangrel and say, you know, staring across from that scary ass vampire with your wrist taped and holding machetes while Beat It is playing and the vampire is playing ball with you. I mean, a Michael Jackson knife fight with Gangrel, I would have to say. Now, it wasn't my most scientific match, you know, but I think I would have to say the Michael Jackson knife fight with Gangrel.
That's great, man.
Thanks, Vampire Warrior.
What a great thing, man. I'm excited. Next time I come to Vegas, when there's a Freak Show wrestling show, I want to come check it out.
Yeah, hell yeah, dude. Hell yeah.
I'll wear a lucha mask.
Hell yeah. No, I mean, and right now what we're doing is we film a lot of, like, close set stuff. Like, we have the Snake Pit down the street. I'll shameless plug. It's me and Jake, the Snake, and D-Lo.
That's your
wrestling school.
Training school. Okay.
Yeah, cool. So at night we have the Snake Pit, and then by day it's Fantasy Slam, which is for fans to come and, you know, kind of be like Billy Crystal and City Slickers. Like,
yeah, it's funny. Bubba Ray Dudley and I were talking about that, because, you know, you have the rock and roll fantasy camp. So you do that, right, with
yeah, dude.
What's the liability on that?
I snuck some of the Performance Center liability stuff, so I'm pretty airtight.
Gotcha.
honestly, it's been really cool. Like, bringing in guys that they're, like, scared, you know, like, I'm like, look, we're here to have a good time. Again, this is something I wouldn't have even done, like, you know, maybe 10 years ago. Yeah. I think I probably would have got blackballed for this idea 10 years ago. Same with Freak Show Wrestling. I wouldn't have done that 10 years ago either. But I think I've got the disposition to be, you know, I'm very patient. I try to be, you know, playful, and I want people to, like, enjoy themselves. Like, my mom was a school teacher, and she always would teach me, like, you know, she taught, like, really bad kids, like, you know, miscreant kids. And she's like, look, these kids have to learn the same piece of info maybe 20 different ways.
Right.
So I was always taught, like, you know, communicate and be creative and kind and so forth. So I would have to show these guys, like, that are not wrestlers, you know, we would joke and put on the flyer, like, well, not joke, but basically kind of put over, like, 18 to 81. Like, you do not need any athletic.
Anyone in between, yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you're Mr. Burns, like, Smithers, break something. Like, you want to just teacup me in a wrist lock, and I'll sell it all day long for you, and you can film it, and it's in the can, and you get to show it to your family and friends, and you look like $1 million. And I was telling a couple people, like, I just had a match with a deaf guy the other day. Hmm. Like, he came in, we do these half-day camps. So he came in, and even he was like, the only reason I agreed to do it was, like, he's like, I saw it, I loved it, I wanted to do it, but I just thought I couldn't do it. And then he saw the video that we put up where I wrestled, like, an autistic guy, like, the week before, or a couple weeks before, whatever. And autistic people do not like to be touched. Mm. That's just how it is. So this guy was a big wrestling fan. He came in all the way from England to do this. And I had to communicate with this guy very quickly, assess what he could, you know, do and how to communicate with him. And his mom, like, this was a young guy, he came in with his mom, he's maybe 24 or something, and she was like, you got more out of him in 2.5 hours than, like, therapists have in, like, 2 years. Like, not that I'm Mary Poppins or anything, but
it was something that he enjoyed to do. Yeah.
And he was like, that was my best day ever. I'm like, I was responsible for some kid's best day ever. Like, I'll take that, you know? Like,
right, exactly.
Like, that was awesome. Like, yeah, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't AJ versus Finn Balor, but it was,
I facilitated
a smile on somebody that they're going to take home forever. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I think that's a pretty badass feeling, you know? Like, I like to joke and stuff, but that's as awesomely corny as that's the best kind of thing. So maybe I might even have to trump Gangrel's Michael Jackson knife fight with wrestling Drew the Wild Tiger from England.
There you go. Well, dude, it's good talking to you, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, brother.
Thanks, brother. All right, thanks to Sin Bodhi. Remember, Freak Show Wrestling's big Freak Slam event is happening in Las Vegas Saturday, June 23rd at the Fremont Country Club. Get your tickets now at freakshowwrestling.com. They're only $21.83. That's right. Go find out for yourself why this is Corey Taylor's favorite wrestling company. Maybe Frank and Chicken will be there. I'm looking for a big rematch of the Ghost of Whitney Houston versus the Ghost of Michael Jackson. Corey's going to love that one. And Corey's also going to love Rockin' on Chris Jericho's Rockin' Wrestling Razor at Sea. He joined the lineup. He's going to be performing and hanging out on the cruise ship with all of you. And remember, for as low as $150, you can hold your cabin at ChrisJerichoCruise.com. They are going fast, so they're on the way to sell out. But remember, once you book your cabin, everything is included, okay? All the concerts, comedy shows, live podcasts, meet and greets, autograph signings, even your food. The only things you pay for on the ship are alcohol and gambling. And you'll be able to hang out and mingle and go see all the shows with other fine Hall of Fame talent. Jim Ross, Jerry Lawler, SoCal Val, Rey Mysterio, the Keepin' It 100 crew, Conan, Disco Inferno, and Shane Helms. Pat Patterson is going to be leading karaoke night. Colt Cabana and Marty DeRosa doing the Unprofessional Wrestling Podcast. Mick Foley, Noel Foley, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, Raven is going to be there. Beyond the Darkness, Tim and Dave will be scaring your pants off. Paul Lazenby, Don Callis doing Killing the Town. Talking about hilarious stuff. Brad Williams, Craig Gass, Ron Funches, Sal and Q from the Impractical Jokers keep you laughing. Corey Taylor of Slipknot will be performing. Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons, Fozzie, King, The Stir, The Dave Spivak Project is going to be there. See his new video, Get Out of My House, online now. The Cherry Bombs, the Darlings of Rock and Roll, the greatest female AC/DC tribute band in the world, Shoot to Thrill, is going to be there. Blizzard of Ozzy, world's best Ozzy cover band, Dave LaGreca and Busted Open is going to be there. And of course, Ring of Honor presenting the Sea of Honor tournament aboard the ship. Matches happening in the middle of the ocean, and the winner of the Sea of Honor tournament gets a Ring of Honor World Heavyweight Championship shot in the future. You will see Kenny Omega perform. The Young Bucks are going to be there. Marty Scurll, Adam Page, Cody Rhodes. They just sold out the Sears Center in Chicago, all in for less than 30 minutes. They're all going to be in the cruise. The Briscoe Brothers, Dalton Castle, Frankie Kazarian, Christopher Daniels, Jay Lethal, Cheeseburger, Mandy Leon, Kelly Klein, Brandy Rhodes, Matt Taven, Flip Gordon, Delirious, Kenny King, Silas Young, the Beer City Bruiser, Matt Taven, I said that one already, the Dogs are going to be there. So many great rock and rollers are going to be on that boat as well. And also, don't forget about the next leg of the Judas Rising tour. We're going out with Adelita's Way and Stone Broken and The Stir. Of course, I'm talking about Fozzy. We start off August 24th in Atlanta. We go to Birmingham, Alabama, Huntsville, Alabama, Clarksville, Tennessee. Take the last train to Clarksville, Little Rock, Joliet, Illinois, Omaha, Des Moines, Minneapolis, Fargo, St. Louis, Indianapolis, Fort Wayne, Indiana, Columbus, Ohio, Cincinnati, Louisville, Charlotte, North Carolina, Jacksonville, North Carolina, Huntington, West Virginia, Greenville, South Carolina, Savannah, Lake Buena Vista, that's the House of Blues in Orlando, Tampa, Fort Lauderdale. More gigs to be added, go to FozzyRock.com for all information and all VIP packages. You're going to want to see that one. We play a concert just for you, a mini concert just for the VIPs. Lots of rock and roll going on, and even more this Friday coming up. Five Finger Death Punch will be here talking about the new album and Justice for None. Guitar player Jason Hook and drummer Jeremy Spencer, they're like a wacky comedy duo. They're going to talk about how they ended up in Five Finger. Jason was playing with Alice Cooper. I think Jeremy was playing with Bullet Boys or Wasp or something. They're talking about that. Talking about Jason's killer documentary, Hired Guns, which you can see on Netflix. And, of course, the return of Five Finger Death Punch and their new album. So much to talk about on Friday. We will be here. We'll see you then. In the meantime and in between time, stay hard, stay hungry, peace, love, and hugs. And a big yeah boy, Franken Chicken, he's a real mother clucker. Franken Chicken, ow, ow. Franken Chicken, he's a real mother clucker. Franken Chicken, ow, ow. Aye.